Good morning, everybody. Good to see you here today. Last week, we looked at being delivered from the power of darkness and into the Son of His love, or being translated into the Son of His love. And I told you that that was, last week I told you that was item 14. Actually, that was two of them. That was 14 and 15. So we'll be on 16 this week. I just want to clarify that if you're numbering them, because being delivered from the kingdom of darkness and then being translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love are two separate things. And so I needed to break that down. I had it on my main notes at home, but it didn't transfer over. And so today we're going to look at, what does it mean to be set on the rock, Christ Jesus? Okay, we're going to look at it both. What does it mean positionally, and what does it mean practically to be on the rock? They're two different events. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a look. Father, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you, Lord, this day. Pray for this time together. Pray, Lord, that you'd open your scriptures up to us. Direct us in our study. Direct me as I teach. Help me to rightly divide your word of truth and explain it clearly. We pray this, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. In Ephesians 2:19, Paul's writing to the church. He says, "Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows up in a holy temple in the Lord." And you're a habitation of God in the Spirit. What he's saying there is the foundation of the church is Christ Jesus. He is the cornerstone. Cornerstone was a key block laid in the foundation. And he said in this case, in the spiritual building of the church, Christ is the key part of that foundation. And we're built upon him. We're also told in scriptures in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 and 11, that we have a foundation that is in Christ. If you turn in your Bibles there or look at the screen. Verse 10 says, "According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed to how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So we see Christ is the foundation upon which the church is built. Now, that's our position in Christ Jesus. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are seated in the heavenlies, you are placed in Christ, and you are a part of the church, or you are standing on the foundation, which is the cornerstone, person of Christ, and you are a member of that building being the body of Christ. It make sense to you? That's a position that you have. Now, practically, in your practical everyday life, you can live your life in Christ and walk by faith, or you can be unfaithful. And the key thing to understand is you are to be faithful. You should live out your life on the rock, on the solid rock of Christ, just like your position is on the solid rock, the cornerstone of Christ. And as I was studying this passage, this concept of the rock, Christ Jesus, I wanted to look and see what the Bible says about God being our rock. And so I wanted to look, we got to look at a number of scriptures this morning, but I wanted you to see it because it's a very interesting study. And you see that God is defined as being our rock. And in being our rock, he becomes a source of strength and comfort for our life. Hey, we live in a very uncertain time. Life is very uncertain, okay? I don't care where you live. Life is uncertain, and you're going to encounter all kinds of things in life that will cause you confusion and doubt and concern, worry, fear, such as that. But I think as we look at these illustrations of the rock of God, that it'll bring encouragement to your life too. Look in Deuteronomy. Look in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, we're just going to walk through some various scriptures. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. This is Moses writing to the children of Israel. We're going to begin in verse 3. He says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." That's his testimony of God. Know what he says about God. God's work is perfect. His ways are justice. He is a God of truth, and he has no injustice within him. He is righteous, and he is upright. The idea there is you can rest upon God because he provides for you a sure and solid foundation for life. That is what Moses says about God. So we could draw one truth from that. God is our bedrock of truth and justice. God is my bedrock of truth and justice. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And you see the song of Hannah here. After she's had her little baby, she sings a song to God. And look what she says about God. She says, verse 2, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." We see God being referred to as a rock again, and God is our source of holiness. Not only is he our source of truth and justice, he is a source of holiness, or if you will, a bedrock of holiness for us to build our life on. Look in 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. We're not going to look. I wish I'd have counted them, probably 25 verses up here, but we're not going to cover all of them. I'm jumping through these things because there are so many. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2. "And he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength. In him I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, for you save me from violence." We see there David calling out to God, speaking about God being a rock, a fortress, a deliverer, a Savior. So we can draw that conclusion. God is also a rock in the sense that he provides salvation and deliverance in our life. All right? Let's look at another reference. Look at David in the Psalms. And we'll see this same psalm again in Psalm 18. If you want to look there, Psalm 18. David reiterates this statement of God being our rock and our fortress and such. Psalm 18 and verse 2. He says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Look down at verse 31. He says, "For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" Verse 46. "The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted." We see God yet again referenced here as a rock. We see it in the book of Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah. Now there's a number of psalms speaks of God being a rock. A number of them. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 verses in Psalms alone that references God as being a rock. Look at Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah the 8th chapter. Now, give you a little background on Isaiah. Isaiah is writing to an apostate nation that's divided, that is forsaken God. A very sad situation that they're in. And God gives him the revelation, or the prophecy, if you will, to speak to him. Verse 11, he says, "For the Lord spoke this to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of the people," saying, he's going to draw a contrast here. He's going to say, don't walk in the way of the people, walk in the way of God. "Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Israel," or Jerusalem. Now, when you look at that passage of Scripture, how well does that parallel our life today? Somewhat. You know, there are people all over our nation, and you run into them all the time, that are fearful and scared of what the government or what people might do to them. Matter of fact, there are a number of people that live their lives in total fear of what other people think or say about them. And it literally cripples them. And God tells Isaiah, "Isaiah, you don't put your hope in people. You don't put your hope in man. You better keep your hope and your faith in me." He said, all the people that should be your allies, all of Israel, I'm going to be a rock of stumbling and a stone of offense to them. But you need to draw near to me. He goes on to say further in the book of Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 44. Isaiah is still dealing with the same people. Isaiah 44, verse 8. God tells him to not have fear. Thus, he says, "Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declare it? You are my witness. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." He's building up Isaiah's confidence by instructing Isaiah in what he should do, so that Isaiah is not directed by fear. And see, that's where we stand with God, folks. God is our refuge and our strength. God is our source of stability in life. Don't put your hope in what a man or a person can do for you. Put your hope and trust in God. Put your confidence in God. Build your life on God. And you will have a life that overcomes. You have a life that is not tossed about. When Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus, he told them to teach the Word of God, learn the Word of God, be trained in the Word of God, so that you're not like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So that you're not moved around like the sea, to where your life is not unstable, but your feet are firmly planted upon the rock. And that's what God is illustrating all through Scripture. Look in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, the Old Testament prophet. Yeah, I didn't think you thought he was New Testament, but Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. Habakkuk says, "Are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction." See, there's a constant reference in Bible to God being a rock. And the symbolism or the picture is he provides a solid foundation for our life. You flip over to the New Testament, and you look at the passage that we looked at this morning, but let's go back even further than that. Let's go back to the book of Matthew. Go back to the Gospel of Matthew and go to Matthew 16. We're going to see Christ make reference Matthew 16, where he says he's going to build his church. Now, let me give you a little background. We're going to look at Matthew 16, 18, but I want to begin back in verse 13, okay? So look at Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came from the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and some Elijah's, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." This is divine revelation, that Christ is the Son of the living God. "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, what is the rock that he is building on? The rock that he's building on is the statement that Peter made. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Paul goes on to tell us that in Ephesians 2. He says, Christ is the cornerstone of the church. He is the foundation upon which it is built. 1 Corinthians 3, he says, there is no other foundation which can be laid other than the person of Christ Jesus. So what happens with a believer is, when a believer comes to faith in Christ, he is placed in Christ and he is set upon the rock. He is set upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. That's our position. That's our heavenly relationship. We're secure in that. But then in this life, just like it is in all other areas, God wants our condition or our lifestyle to measure up to what our position with him is. My position is what? I'm seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I am built on the foundation of Christ being the cornerstone of the church. I am a part of that building, but yet at the same time, I build upon that in my practical life. That is my condition. My condition is, what am I doing with the fact that I'm upon the rock, Christ Jesus? And I'm secure in that relationship. Practically, I need to live my life like I'm seated upon the rock of Christ Jesus. Amen? We got to live our life like that. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. And I think you get a clear picture of it. 1 Corinthians 3. In 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in the 10th verse, he says, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder," that phrase, wise master builder, is where we get our word architect from. It's actually architekon in the Greek. And it means more in their language than in ours. In ours, architect draws up the plans. In this case, the architect did more than just draw up the plans. He actually did the building, okay? So he said, "I was a wise master builder." He says, "I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed to how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he receives a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he suffers loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire." Now the idea here is, you're building day by day in your life. He said, let each one be careful how he builds. Be cautious in how you build. I was reading R.C. Sproul in this passage, and he says, be a cautious liver of the Word of God. In other words, live out the Word of God, but be cautious in how you live. What does he mean by that? He means to analyze, examine what you're doing with your life. Don't live the Christian life in a haphazard, neglectful type manner. Live your life with purpose. Live your life with meaning. Live your life with direction. Understand that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in the hands of God and you are secure in your relationship for this reason and purpose, so that you can fully give yourself to Him in this life. That's the idea. That's why God tells us all that. See, sinful man looks at it, well, if you believe that I'm safe and secure no matter what happens in my life, then I can go out and live any way I want to. That's just the way sinful man thinks. Take something good and blessed by God and say, I can use that for evil? That's not what God intended or purposed in your life. God intended and purposed in your life to let you know that you're secure and safe in Him, to where you don't spend all your time trying to maintain a relationship with Him, but you're secure in that relationship, and now you can go out and live for Him. That's the idea. But as you live your life, we're constantly cautioned on how we should live that life. Because understand this, just because someone's in a relationship with the Lord does not mean that they're going to build a life that is secure and safe. Because you have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, understand something. That doesn't guarantee that you're going to live a life of victory and overcome. Does that make sense to you? There's a lot of people that think, well, I'm saved, everything's going to be good, and all of a sudden their life starts falling apart and they say, what's going on here? We are cautioned over and over and over again to be careful in how we live. And I wanted to conclude with that passage in Matthew 7. And it's a warning from Christ. Turn to Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. Well, we got to stop right there. What sayings is Christ talking about? The sayings that he's talking about is how to live the kingdom life. He has just given one of the greatest sermons ever preached, and that is the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us what is expected of us as citizens of the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount is not how do I get into the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount is now that I'm in the kingdom, how do I live? There's a big difference between the two. And he says this, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that are persecuted. He goes all through this list and goes through this whole message. He gets here to chapter 7, and in verse 24 he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Note the key to that statement. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Where have you heard that before? James, right? James says, it's not just the hearers of the word of God that are going to be blessed, but who? The doers. The idea of Scripture is, as a believer, I must take and apply to my life the word of God and live the word of God if I want to benefit from the word of God. You're not benefited simply by hearing. You've got to hear, but you've got to apply. And the key thing to Bible teaching is learning how to apply the Word of God. Don't just audit the class. Take it for a test. The test is when you leave out of here. You know, I was in seminary where some classes you could take for audit and you don't get a credit for it. You just learn the material. So I took, I didn't have enough money to take all the classes. I took the ones that applied directly to my degree, but there were a lot of electives that I wanted to take and a lot of other study I wanted to do. And so what I would do is I'd take an elective class. But in order to learn the class, you know what I'd do? I'd do all the work. I didn't have to turn it in and I put it in for a grade or anything like that. but I would still do it. Nor did I get credit for the class. And if I got in there and it was something he was teaching on that wasn't interesting to me, I could get up and leave. It didn't matter. You know why? Because I wasn't going to take a test over it. It didn't matter. But in those classes that I was paying good money for, and it wasn't cheap, man. It was over $300 for a semester hour. And I mean, I'd pay that kind of money. I said that I wanted more. I was like, man, is that all you're going to give me for $300 an hour, man? Give me more than that. I want the notes. I want your notes on your notes. I want all the books. I want everything that goes with this. I want my money's worth. But the idea behind it is I had an exam or an evaluation. And see, that's how it is with the Word of God, folks. You're not auditing the Christian life. You're taking the Christian life because you're going to have a test over the Christian life. And that test is going to begin as soon as you walk out these doors this morning. When you walk out the doors of this building, God is going to provide you an opportunity to start learning how to apply the Word of God that you've heard in here. He's going to show you in your life by bringing a situation in your life to where you can apply Scripture to it and you can overcome whatever you face. You're not auditing the Christian life. You're taking it for exam. And then ultimately and finally, there's going to be an exam at the end. Paul said, in that day, everyone's work will be tested to see what sort it is. God is going to evaluate how you applied the Word of God to your life. In words, thoughts, and deeds. What did I do with the Scripture? What did I do with the Christianity of my life? I'm seated in Christ. I'm on the rock. I'm a part of that cornerstone. But is that a practical reality in my life? Or is my life an empty, hollow lie compared to who I am in Christ? That's the bottom line. Am I really taking this stuff for real? Is it really serious to me? Does it really matter to me? Jesus says it matters a lot. Look what Jesus said. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. What's he saying? Build your life on the rock. How do I build my life on the rock? By applying the Word of God to my life. When I do that, I build a solid foundation for life, folks. I build a firm foundation. And just like Christ is my rock, He is my source of strength. He is my deliverer. He is my hope. He takes fear away from me. I will not experience that in life unless I apply the Word of God to my life. That's the key to it right there. Look at this other guy. This is the auditor right here. He says, now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. In other words, his entire life collapsed. You understand the house that he's talking about? It's your life is what he's talking about. It's your life. That's what he's talking about. Your life has to be built upon God's Word. Your life has to be built upon the solid rock of Christ if you're going to be successful in life. As a believer, I'm placed in Christ. I am a part of that building that God is building, the church of God. I am on the cornerstone. Christ is my foundation. But practically, do I live my life and make Christ the foundation of my life? Christ is my rock, and He is my source of truth and justice. Christ is my rock. He is the source of my holiness, and He is my picture of uprightness. Christ is my rock. He is my deliverer and a salvation for my enemies. Christ is my rock, and He is my hope in a time of fear. A life that is built upon that will be a life that is solid. It'll be a life that is secure and a life that lives in victory. Folks, we live in very uncertain times. And I don't care if you live here in America or in other places in the world. Other places in the world got it worse than us. We're fortunate to have what we have. But don't live your life in fear. Don't let your life be governed by fear. Don't let the circumstances of life dictate your level of joy, happiness, and contentment. Your joy, happiness, and contentment is built upon the person of Christ and your relationship with Him. And with God, all things are possible. If you want a life that overcomes, a life of victory, put your life on Christ. How do I put my life on Christ? By applying the Word of God to what I'm doing. Teach it to your children. Teach it to your grandchildren. Apply it to your personal life and live it out consistently and faithfully. And you'll come through the storm and your life won't collapse as a result of it. Christ is my rock, and God has placed me on that rock positionally. It's up to me of whether I'm going to live in obedience and apply it to my life and make it a reality day to day. Let's pray. Father, we come in prayer and we thank you, Lord, for you are truly good and gracious to your people. Father, I pray that we would build our life on the rock, Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that in our salvation, we are secure in you and you have placed us on that rock. Father, might we be found faithful to apply it to our everyday life and to build our life on that same sure foundation. That we don't build our life on the thoughts of man or the empty, hollow promises of man, but that we build our life on the solid truth of God's Word. Father, help us to do that. And we pray this, Lord, and ask this of you in Christ's name. Amen.